Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
At a house in the countryside in Piedmont, northern Italy, a man sits down at a piano in a grand old room with high ceilings, takes a breath, and puts his fingers to the keys. Behind him, late afternoon sunlight streams in through the open window and bounces off the glossy black of the piano. Outside, there's a breeze playing in the trees, a little bird song in the air. But in here,
when I need to feel like I'm in a beautiful place, that is the music I go to.
It's very pure, it's very simple.
Because the music itself is space.
The man is Ludovico Einaudi. You've heard quite a lot about him by this point. What he's like to perform with on stage, the energy he brings to his collaborations, the sparks of electricity that carry his music out into the world, into your home and your heart. The only thing you haven't heard is what he makes of all this. So it's time to find out. Deep breath now, sink into your seat and experience the Ludovico Einaudi story. Episode 3, Solo.
The house in Turin, I remember it as a beautiful space, as a beautiful place, because we were living by the river Po, which is the big river of Torino and the biggest river of northern Italy.
At last, he speaks. We've been circling around this moment for a while now, haven't we? Building a picture of the maestro from the stories his friends have told us. The outline of a man, pieced together from the clues he leaves in his music and his interactions with the world. But now it's time to fill in that outline. And that job begins at the house where Ludovico grew up, just across the river from a zoo.
I remember in the night when I was going to bed and when I was waking up, I was listening to the sound of elephants and lions and all the exotic animals that at the time were there. So it was quite an exotic and memorable sound and experience for me.
Ludovico Einaudi was born in November of 1955. Now, I know that no family is quote-unquote normal, but little Ludo came from some pretty interesting stock. Take his granddad, for instance.
My grandfather was an economist, and my grandfather was also the first president elected in Italy after the war in the Democratic Republic that we still have now.
Ludovico's own dad, Giulio Einaudi, was sort of the black sheep of the family.
My father was the last one of three sons, and he was, while the first of the three brothers was an economist, the second one was an engineer. He was more like an arty. My father was in Torino because he had his publishing house.
Ludovico learned a few lessons watching his old man conduct business at his publishing house. None of those lessons particularly sound, fiscally speaking, but important nonetheless.
He never cared about money. He didn't care about publishing something that was impossible to sell. And in fact, after maybe 40 years of activity, the publishing house went bankruptcy. and he lost everything. But at the end, I have a very good memory of him because he was just doing what he liked to do.
So it was from his dad that he learned the importance of doing what you love right from a young age. But it was Ludovico's mother, Renata, who introduced him to some of the things that would shape his entire world.
She came from a musical family because her father was a conductor and also a composer. But he moved to Australia when she was only 12 years old, before the war. And so in a way, I'm saying this because my mother, she missed her father all her life, and music for her was also the connection with her father. My mother was a sort of poetic and irrational woman. She was not the typical Italian. She was quite cold as a character. But she loved music, she loved poetry, and she loved nature.
The house that Ludovico grew up in was full of the sounds of his mum's music and his dad's business at the publishing house. It was a lively, artistic place.
My father, on the Wednesday afternoon, every week a big meeting in the publishing house, and some people came from outside, writers, philosophers, artists, to discuss things. And most of the times after the meeting in the office, they came at 8 o'clock at home, and there was always on the Wednesday a big dinner. And around those, there was some special guests: Italo Calvino, the famous Italian writer, Primo Levi, the other one, also Susan Sontag.
Now, I don't know if you're up on your 20th century literature, but that trio of writers, I mean, you could fill a library just with books about them. And one of those legendary authors in particular played a key role in Ludovico's childhood.
There was one especially that was like a friend to me. I felt with him a relation like you have with your uncle. This was Italo Calvino.
Italo Calvino was, still is, a towering figure in literature. Academics have spent decades poring over his every printed word, trying to get an insight into the mind that wrote them. He was also, as it turns out, a pretty nice guy to have around the house.
He was very nice to me because I had the passion for photography. This I took it from my father. And I was printing my black and white photographs in a little dark room that I built. And Calvino was looking at my photographs, and I remember in one of those Wednesday evenings with all the people who came for dinner, we had all my photographs on the floor, and he was saying, making like a little contest to decide which was the best photography of mine. I really remember those moments, and the fact that someone was interested in what I was doing was special for me.
With an upbringing like that, maybe you'd think that Ludovico's life in art was a foregone conclusion, but he didn't see it like that. Even if music was a big part of his day-to-day.
I was playing music, I was playing piano, and at the same time, those were the years of the Beatles. And so I had my older sister that was all the time playing the Beatles, Bob Dylan, and even my mother that was coming from a classical background, she loved Satisfaction from the Rolling Stones. And she loved to listen to any kind of music, my mother too. But my father was not at all musical. In fact, I remember in the last years when I went to visit him in Rome, I was surprised to see he had a CD player, because he was never listening to music, actually. But then I went to look what he was listening to, and I saw the John Cage, The 4 Minutes of Silence. So this way I understood why he was listening to music. But my mother, of course, was very happy, and she was, every time I had doubts about my life, she was encouraging me about music, and I think for sure she was the important figure for my musical career.
It was Ludovico's mum who set him on his path, and who had a hand in determining where he would pursue his music. Because as magical as that childhood in Turin sounds, there was another side to it.
I wouldn't say it was a town where I was feeling well. Even if it was culturally very active, it felt to me very tight. In fact, I always had desire to go to Milano because my mother was originally from Milano, and it was like two different souls. Torino, very, in a way, dark and deep, but also depressing, and Milano, maybe a little more superficial, but open to the world and more easy. So I had those two souls in my life.
It wasn't just a personal change that Ludovico was longing for. There was something in the air, a feeling that everything around him was on the brink of upheaval.
I was very rebellious when I was 14, 15, 16, but this was when everyone was rebellious. Between 68 and 73, 74, there was a big chaos in Italy and strikes in the schools, people fighting in the streets. I was not fighting, but I was part of this movement. It was a movement that was, was part of the change of costumes and the historical change that was all around the world at the time.
When he got the chance, Ludovico took that upheaval and ran with it. He moved 100 miles down the road to fashionable Milan. By that point, he'd already been studying music at Turin's conservatory for a couple of years, and the atmosphere there was kind of stuffy.
Milan, of course, it was more open to the avant-garde, to the fashion of the moment, and everyone was more hip, and there was a lot of activity in the arts, in music. There was a lot of inspiration from all the side. So Milan was very good for someone that is starting, because you have all the possibilities there. One evening you go to La Scala, and I was going to see rehearsals at La Scala with Claudio Abbado, and I was meeting architects like Gaio Lenti. And there I met, actually in Milano, Luciano Berio.
Luciano Berio was, at that time, one of the leading avant-garde composers in all of Europe.
One night he came to La Piccola Scala, that was the smaller theater that is not anymore there. And after this event, I went with some people. They invited me to have dinner with him. And we started to talk a bit during the dinner. And at the end of the dinner, he said, "Would you like to come to Florence in a couple of days? I'm going to give you a little job."
There are turning points in every life. This was a big one for young Ludovico.
And so I said immediately, yes. With him, I started to work in music. It was quite early because I started with him. I was like 22 years old. And he gave me immediately a job that gave me a sort of sense, a more realistic sense of what I could do with music. He encouraged me a lot. And not only that, he was interested immediately to see also what I was doing musically. Started to look at my scores. He asked me to do a transcription of my work from a small ensemble to an orchestral ensemble that he was going to conduct. So we started a very important relation for me, for opening my view into the world of music.
From there, Ludovico was ushered into the heart of Milan's avant-garde scene. He found himself in the midst of a fashionable group with radical ideas about art. He was living and breathing music.
I went very much deep into the music and I was just thinking about music, going to concerts, and this was for a few years. I think I was not so confident with myself, but Berio gave me the hope. He showed me that it was possible to do something.
But even while he was taking encouragement from his new mentor, something about the avant-garde world didn't sit right with Ludovico.
It was really like a sort of dictatorship from the avant-garde that was saying, harmony is finished, melody is over, rhythm is finished. So everything was not possible anymore. And so you have to reconsider completely all the elements of music in a completely different way. But at the same time, I realized that this erasing all the past was a sort of, the result was that there was a new music coming out from that distraction. But the new music that was coming sounded all the same, all similar. It didn't contain all the colors that the music before contained.
For anyone who knows Ludovico's work, you can understand why the prospect of music without melody, harmony, color was difficult for the young composer to swallow.
I grew up with so many music around me, and I loved classical music, but I was, as I said, I was loving the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix. And so I couldn't say, if I was honest, deeply honest, and I wanted to be honest with me because music was my passion, I couldn't say to me, okay, I have to be serious now. It's only the avant-garde, it's only Mozart, because it was not true. It was not true to me. I needed the feeling that a song from the Beatles or other great songwriters were giving to me had been too important to my life to leave them apart.
And the longer Ludovico spent trying to be something he wasn't, the louder that voice inside him grew. He had to be honest with himself.
And so I decided that I couldn't spend the rest of my life with the avant-garde. And I started to work and see how I could manage to create my space of music where I could hang on the walls of my room John Lennon and Johann Sebastian Bach and Stravinsky and Jimi Hendrix. And so I started to explore this world, this dimension, and after some experiments that were not particularly good, I started to see a light.
Ludovico listened to the part of him that was crying out for something different. It was difficult and it was isolating, but it made him stronger.
I started to feel confident with what I was doing, and this was the beginning of my new musical life, because I started to feel that I was doing something that was really respecting me, respecting my vision, my soul. And I remember when I started to work on this, many people that I was working with in the world of avant-garde started to close the doors. And in a way, I felt more alone, but I felt that I was doing something right.
So what did his mentor, the great Luciano Berio, think about this new direction?
He was thinking that it was too simple, what I was doing. He told me that I was taking the ships back at home, the ship that the avant-garde had left running around the fields. He told me that I was taking the ships back to the house.
Even though the two had meant a lot to one another, they'd never again see eye to eye.
Our views started to be diverging completely, and in the last years we were not anymore in touch. Not because I didn't want, but there was something that was unsaid between us that was expressing the fact that our views were completely different.
Ludovico's break from his mentor was the beginning of a new phase in his life.
I started to walk alone in my strange, wild territory that was only mine. I felt it was my garden, it was my trail. It was my wild trail that I wanted to explore.
And explore he did. Ludovico spent the years after that revelation writing music that was truer to who he was and the boy he had been. The one with Beatles posters on his bedroom wall, a Stones LP on the record player, and his mum tapping out some Chopin on the piano in another room. He felt more comfortable in this new place, but he still had more to learn about himself.
The moment where I started to feel that I was connecting more with my music, it was, I think, in 1996, when I started to become a composer and a pianist together, when I started to play my music.
It's funny to think of it now, but there was a time when Ludovico didn't really consider himself a pianist, even if he had always loved to play the piano. It took him a long time to clock that something was getting lost in translation between his composition and the performance of the piece.
I was searching for a sound that wasn't there, actually, in the pianist that I was listening to. I had something in mind that I searched when I was playing at home that then I didn't hear when my music was played by other pianists.
Ludovico, at the same time, began to notice something strange was happening when he played the piano in his apartment in Milan.
I was playing at home and I started to receive applause from the streets. People passing by and I started to receive some little notes under the door of people leaving me messages. And in a way, those simple things gave me the confidence of a connection that I was establishing with the people that was very beautiful. Because, I mean, it's good to have some encouragement from a great maestro like Berio, but it's also very beautiful to have an encouragement from someone that you don't know that is passing by in the streets. And this is maybe even more important.
He took it all as a sign.
I decided to make a project when I wrote Leonde, a project that was entirely composed, performed by me. And this coincidence of composing, performing, singing my music in a way, made the change, created the impact on people.
This was when Ludovico felt the first ripples of rapture. When he sat down at the piano and played for people. When he delivered his own compositions to the world. The world listened intently. And there would be more discoveries to follow. An important one took place a few years later, a long, long way from Milan.
My experience with African music came when I went to Mali in the year 2000 with some friends. I did a trip to Bamako and then to different parts of Mali. And there I met some African musicians like Toumani Diabaté and Balakesi Soko.
You met Toumani Diabaté on episode 2. He talked about the evening when a visiting Ludovico stumbled into the bar where he was playing with his band.
I remember when he came to the places in Mali, Bamako, where I was playing every Friday night with my band called Symmetric Orchestra.
Turns out, that night left a lingering impression on both the musicians.
I remember when I went to Bamako, there was this place. It was a place where Toumani, every once a week, used to play with his Symmetric Orchestra. And it was fantastic because they were there on stage and they were playing, but at the same time, they were living. They were having dinner also during the concert. I mean, the concert lasted 4 or 5 hours and they were just there living on that stage as it was their home, their life. It was completely different from the experience that you have here in Europe where you start a concert and everything is constricted in time. You have tickets, you have to sit in a place and everything has rules. There were no rules and I loved that.
The whole atmosphere was unlike anything Ludovico had experienced before. It stuck in his memory for good reason.
Suddenly I found myself in this dimension and I was on stage with them. And I don't even remember how it happened, but I was sitting between them and there was an electric piano. I was playing with them and the night went on for hours and I just enjoyed it so much.
Ludovico spent as much time as he could with Toumani on that trip, soaking up all the music that Mali had to offer. One song in particular got stuck on repeat in his head. It's called Mali Saggio.
This song, I remember Toumani, he played to me while I was in his car in Bamako. He put a cassette and he played me this recording. And immediately I felt something with the harmonic structure of the song. Very simple. It's three chords and that's it. But there was something very emotional with this song that when I came back to Italy after my first trip to Mali, I was playing all the time. When you are leaving Africa, we called it in Italy the Mal d'Africa. You are missing Africa and there is a connection that you want to keep, that you are, your heart is still there and you are away from Africa. And so to heal my soul, I was playing all the time for, I think, 3-4 weeks. After, I was playing all the time, all the day, variations around this melody.
Ludovico couldn't let go of that melody. When he sat down at the piano, it was all he wanted to play. In the end, it became the foundation for his next album, I Giorni.
Part of the album came from that period of thinking about Africa, thinking about my beautiful experience, thinking about this music that I kept in my heart for months.
Now, you've already heard about how much of a breakthrough that record was, and the fact that a few years down the line, the BBC Radio 1 DJ Greg James would launch a campaign to get the album's title track into the pop charts.
We decided to make it a hit, or try to, and see what would happen.
In doing so, he brought a ton of new listeners to Ludovico. But that's not why Ludovico cherishes his experiences in Mali and the music that he heard there. For him, it just typifies the wonder of accessing a new place, a new culture. And he's been lucky because a life in music has allowed him to do that time and time again.
I played in amphitheatres in Verona, the arena in Athens. I played in fields at the open air in places that were not meant to have music. I played in the Arctic in front of the glacier. And all those different variants and possibilities give you a really inspiring dimension every time to enjoy a different possibility of where your music goes. And the sound changes and the people that you are playing for is changing, so you meet different cultures.
That appreciation for discovery and exploration, it's important to Ludovico. But he has to be careful not to get too distracted by it.
I have to say that the more I played around the world, the more the success has been growing. I still like to keep my dimension very simple, very pure. I like to stay with what I'm good for. I want to keep my purity. And I think maybe it's the key of why I keep going. I don't want to change myself. I don't want to become like a music star that goes everywhere. And because I think it's the secret for me is to keep in touch with a simple way of relating with life, with the beautiful things that are around you, that are the relations, the nature that is so fantastic and important. And also the fact that after all, you don't need so much to be happy in your life.
Enjoying the things you are good for, living a simple life, keeping pure. Sure, sounds like a great idea, but how easy is it in practice when you're out on the road playing for a different audience of adoring fans every night? Surely that gets to your head, that changes you somehow, whether you like it or not.
I remember when I played at the Royal Albert Hall and we were filming and everything. There was a moment during the day that I felt a bit overwhelmed by the tension of the event. There was a moment where I felt, will I have the energy and the power to be there with 6,000 people? But then at the end, I remember I did a yoga session before the concert and everything went well. For me, it's like I tried not to think too much. at where I'm going to be, how it's going to be. I don't want to know too much. And I try to concentrate on myself and try to keep the balance that I, the inner balance that I have, like I'm at home. It's not easy. It's not easy. I promise.
It might not be easy, but it's that determination to stay pure that keeps the maestro free and open and able to create. It also helps him when it comes time to collaborate with artists outside of the world of music, where there's no place for ego.
Of course, when you're working on a film, you have to be part of a group of people. You have to deal with the people that are making the movie, and there must be something in the relation that you establish with the director, with the editor, that is inspiring, that is respectful of your vision. Every collaboration can take you into another dimension, can take you to a place where you wouldn't have gone by yourself.
It has always meant a great deal to Ludovico to hear the effect that his music has on the filmmakers who seek him out.
It's very beautiful when I hear directors like Chloe Zhao or Shane Meadows or the two directors of The Untouchables coming to me and saying, I was writing the film and I didn't know how to edit because there was too much material and I didn't have a structure. And your music helped me to finish, to find the direction. This is very beautiful. I mean, it's a different way compared to the concerts that give you a sense of what you're doing. That is very rewarding to hear that you have been an inspiration to people like that, to such important and beautiful projects.
If you listen to the last episode of Experience, you'll remember that Shane Meadows could not have been more emphatic about the role Ludovico played in helping his film, This Is England, become a masterpiece.
He sat at the piano and what wasn't a film became a film.
As you can imagine, I'm curious to hear how Ludovico remembers that collaboration.
He came in Milano and we watched the film together, and I was so moved by the film, and so I immediately said, yes, I want to work with you. And we started a beautiful collaboration. I was working from Milano and I was sending back and forth the music to the editing room in England. And actually, there was a very difficult scene to do because the topic part of the film, very dramatic at the end of the film, and it was all with my music, and I was doing a lot of takes. It was a piece with a solo piano that I was performing. And I remember I sent the music, and then he sent it back and he said, fantastic, I've done something to the sound. And they slow it down a bit to make it even more dramatic than I thought. It was really beautiful what they did.
This year, Ludovico has seen the music he's created accompany two feature films on their path to critical acclaim. Both The Father and Nomadland have been nominated for Best Picture at the Golden Globes. And even though he's been doing this for decades now, that alchemy of image and sound working together is still a little bit mystical to Ludovico. That's why he likes this work.
I'm very happy about the project that I've done recently with Nomadland. The film is extraordinary. Has a very personal vision. Also, it has a vision that I share completely. The way the music interacts with the images is not predictable. I think the music adds something that you wouldn't associate with that kind of movie, this kind of American road movie. So my music, in a way, opens. And I love when there is a conflict between a message that you receive from the images and with the sound that you hear. And I think sometimes it can create like a tick, something that is completely unexpected that takes, really opens the significance of the moment that you create.
When we heard from Chloe Zhao, the director of Nomadland, this is how she described Ludovico.
He's, as I imagine, someone who just so connected. Someone who just has a really peaceful presence about him, you know. I can talk to him for a long time. I feel very calm.
In fact, that description of a man at peace with the world has come up time and time again. So I'm wondering, is it a word that has meaning to him? Does Ludovico feel particularly at peace?
I don't know exactly. I need to stay in a protected area to be peaceful because I'm not exactly, I don't think I'm completely a peaceful person, not because I'm angry, but I could get nervous about things and it takes me a lot of work. And also the way I deal with music, the way I express my music helps me also to be peaceful. It's like a sort of personal meditation for me to make music, how I make music, how I see it. I see the sounds as elements in the space and they need space to balance together one with the other.
Creativity is personal meditation. Yeah, maybe that's the secret of the man who calmed the world. Ludovico tries not to think too much about what happens once a melody leaves his fingertips, the effect that it has out there, in the world. But he does, of course, know that people find peace in his music. And he has a couple of theories as to why that might be.
I think it's also the way I feel a sound, the way I search for a sort of natural quality. And I'm very sensitive about things are done, how an instrument is made. I like to explore things that are unique and that makes me feel good also. It's a sort of creating a world around me that is giving me peace. I like that the world is a special place. I like to be surrounded by something that is special and that is unique rather than having things that are common. In that sense, I like to go deep in what I do and to create things that are precious. And I think this is also the secret maybe of the interaction that I create with the others, because you feel that you are in touch with something that is not easy to find.
So, does he have to be in a peaceful state to write a song in the first place?
It depends. It's something that I really cannot say. I think when I have too many thoughts, it's more difficult to take the music. I think it's a lot of times it's when you are not thinking too much that something happens. And this is why I started to... Since I stopped for now doing concerts, I write a piece every day. And in any situation I find myself, I just take some time to put down an idea, like sketched idea, draft idea. It's a sort of diary, it's a sort of journal that I take, a musical diary. And I would say that not every day, but every 3-4 days, there's one good idea that you keep.
But those ideas remain a little bit mysterious to the maestro. To the extent that he can listen back to a sketch of a tune and not understand how it came to be.
It's quite beautiful to not know why they arrived, how they arrived. Of course, there is inside what you do, there is your background, what you have studied, what you have written, what you have read, what you have listened, all your life is there. What you're doing one day is the result of what you've been doing for all the years that you've been living. But sometimes it's good not to question too much how and why you do things.
One thing he does know is that he writes better when there's someone else nearby, going about their business. A small audience to hear him at work, just like in the old days when people would applaud from the streets below his apartment.
I always like the fact that there is someone listening to it, even if you are not in the same room, but that the energy that is coming from your instrument, from my piano, it's touching the heart of someone. This is something that I always enjoyed. I prefer that than being completely isolated in a cave where nobody can listen to me. It's nice that you're touching immediately the life of someone.
And what does that music mean to the people that the maestro shares his life with?
I think my wife and my little daughter now that are living with me, even if they don't say it every day, of course, when you are living a normal life, you don't say, it's great that you're playing. But I'm sure that there is something that comes out from what I do that they enjoy. I think it's like when someone is cooking, you enjoy the flavor that is in the house. And I think with music, I remember when I was a child and my mother was playing Chopin, and for me, it gave me the sense of the house. It gave me the sense of a fireplace that was open and on.
After so long spent in the company of people who idolize the maestro,
I've wondered what it is about his music that keeps me coming back again and again.
The artists who've been inspired by his work.
I always felt, the first time that I heard his music, that it was music for cinema. It was music which tells you a story.
The collaborators who, despite knowing him and working alongside him, still think of him as an enigma.
Oh my God, the first time I heard Ludovico Einaudi, oh my God.
It's odd now to get a glimpse of this Ludovico, the dad, the husband, the son. It makes me wonder how he reconciles those two things. How do you hear these stories about the impact that your art has on the world and keep it just separate enough to continue creating, free from ego?
I heard, I would say, hundreds of times, all different sort of stories, people that are inspired, the people that are ill and they listen to my music, people that are studying. It's incredibly beautiful and rewarding as artists to hear that. At the same time, I try not to think too much at those things because I don't want to feel too much responsibility.
It's not that that stuff doesn't matter to him. It does, enormously so.
I feel honored and rewarded by that. But as I said before, I want to keep my soul in a way pure and clean from all that. Not because I don't like it, but I think to continue, you need to forget about things, and I need to forget.
Because it's when he forgets all of that, that he makes the music that people will remember him by.
I just want to be Ludovico. I want to be inspired by my walks and by the sun that I see coming from the window. And this is how my art comes and how I can create something for the others.
So we're back where we started, with the light streaming through the window and bouncing off that piano. The man takes a deep breath, tries to clear all the noise from his head. He thinks he might feel a melody hovering somewhere nearby, to be plucked from the air and sketched out on the keys at his fingertips. But if not, no big deal. Tomorrow's another day. And the next moment of inspiration, well, it'll come when it comes. Thank you for listening to Experience, the Ludovico Einaudi story. Experience is a Cup and Nuzzle production. It was presented by me, Joe Dempsey, produced by Frank Palmer, and engineered by Chris Denman at Skyrocket Audio.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.